Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It is a busy Wednesday here at the Skyview Network Studios. I'm Jordan Hamm on the Brad Sesmat Show, sports360az.com. We have a ton of content going on, whether it is high school football. We had a recruiting update yesterday, a big commitment in the state, and we were able to sit down with that player, Brendan Rice, over at Hamilton High School to talk about his commitment to Colorado. You'll hear that interview later in the show. You'll also hear, if you haven't heard, there's a pretty good Pac-12 game this week between ASU and Utah. Sun Devils going on the road. Brad Sesmat able to talk to the head coach of the Utah Utes, Kyle Whittingham, the longest tenured Pac-12 coach. And they were able to sit down, kind of preview this game, talk about the matchup from last year to this year. And actually, Brad and Eric going to be on the road in Salt Lake City this weekend. Thanks to Santan Ford for that and helping us put that together for a very big Pac-12 matchup. So a lot of interesting stuff to get to on this edition of the Brad Sesmat Show. Let's get things going with our rundown brought to you by Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now, protect what matters most. A lot of baseball news going on right now with the postseason. The Nationals able to clinch their first appearance in the World Series, and now the Seattle Mariners, the only team to never make a World Series. So the Nationals, it's been a long-awaited deal. Obviously, they had a franchise from about the 30s to the 60s. Baseball went away in D.C., which I remember when the Nationals became a thing. Like, to think for the formative years of when baseball was king and you didn't have a baseball team in the nation's capital, that is so weird to me. Now that I thought about that last night, because they said, you know, first, they've been waiting since 1936 or something like that. And I was like, yeah, well, they didn't have a franchise for a while. And I didn't realize for that long and for that time period where, like, baseball was the thing in America, sports-wise, they didn't have a team in the nation's capital. That is so bizarre. But a good fan base, long-awaited. A lot of guys had waited for that. Ryan Zimmerman, still playing baseball. How is that man still playing baseball at a high level? He was the Nationals' first pick ever, and he's still on this team, and he gets to enjoy that. Max Scherzer has been with the Nationals for quite a while. Quite a few former Diamondbacks on this team as well. Patrick Corbin, Gerardo Parra, Adam Eaton, Daniel Hudson. A lot of guys from different eras of the Arizona Diamondbacks on this team and being big-time contributors. Hudson's now pretty much the closer. He went through two Tommy Johns. Like, great story for him to come back and be in some of those high-leverage situations, closing that thing out. Patrick Corbin got the start for that game three. And Gerardo Parra, a bench player but a fan favorite. And Devin can attest to this, Devin Henry behind the glass for our show today. I asked when Baby Shark became a thing, who was going to be the guy with the walk-up song for Baby Shark? Gerardo Parra, one of those guys. And you saw a full National Stadium going crazy for Baby Shark, and it made my heart very happy. So they clinch. They're in the World Series. Now it's going to be the Astros or the Yankees. Game four now pushed back due to rain. So who does that help more for the Astros or the Yankees? Well, it helps both teams, I think, because the Astros had to kind of scratch and claw, I think, more than they wanted to in that division series and barely made it out of there. Zach Greinke can now make the start game four with full rest. And the Yankees, it was presumed they were going to do a bullpen day because they weren't quite certain about, you know, that starting rotation. Now Tanaka can throw on full rest as well. So I think it helps the Yankees a little bit more than the Astros, but certainly helps both teams, but pushes everything back. And in the grand scheme of things, it helps the Nationals the most because now they're going to have even another day to go ahead and rest up. And yeah, I'm sure there's going to be plenty of speculation of how they are able to, bounce back after sitting out for a week after, you know, really grinding at such a high level after that rough start to their season. But now they get a little bit of rest. They can get healthy. So I think, in essence, the Nationals are is the team that is most helped by this rain delay. Other MLB news, Joe Maddon heading to the Angels. I think if you are a Diamondbacks fan, that is a sigh of relief. I know that the Padres were pursuing him quite hard, and that would have been bad news for the Diamondbacks. When you look at this NL West, you have Dave Roberts still with the Dodgers. You have Bud Black over at Colorado, obviously Torrey Lovello with the Diamondbacks. Two open spots. Andy Green was relieved of duties by the Padres. Bruce Bochy retired. So a lot of big names have been let go this offseason. A lot of teams in pursuit. A lot of big market teams in pursuit. But I thought that the Padres had a good chance to get Joe Maddon. And say what you will about how his time ended in Chicago, he is one of the best baseball minds out there. He is taking over, I think, what's going to be a tough Angels job, because it's not only a tough division, they have won the offseason so many years. When you think about it, the past 10 to 15 years, how many times bringing in Albert Pujols, bringing in, you know, a bunch of big time starting pitching that seemingly always seems to get hurt. They have the best player in baseball in Mike Trout, and yet they haven't been able to really not even have a stranglehold on the AL West, but be in the race a lot of years. So it's a tough puzzle. And then, you know, not to be overlooked is also the way the franchise and the fan base is after Tyler Skaggs' death, after these details are starting to come out that team representatives supplied him with opioids, and that could have led to that overdose and his death. I mean, that's something that I can't even imagine trying to navigate. So it's not going to be, I think, an easy job. But Joe Maddon, I think, is one of the, as I said, one of the best baseball minds out there, and one of the best people out there to connect with his players, connect with a fan base, navigate a tumultuous times. So certainly not an easy job to take over, but it's going to have an impact on the AL West, a division that already has two postseason teams. And, you know, the Rangers are trying to figure their stuff out. The Mariners got off to a very hot start last year, and then, you know, really the wheels fell off quickly. So Angels are kind of right in the middle of that. And again, they have the resources to go out and get the big name players. They also have the best player in baseball on their team, but they haven't been able to kind of quite figure that out. So we'll see if Maddon can kind of work his magic like he did with the Cubs, and they were able to win the World Series. So a lot of baseball going on. Now that we look at the other jobs available, you know, I mentioned those two teams in the NL West. You look at what the Pirates, the Royals, the Yankees, Mets, Phillies, excuse me. Those are some big time jobs. So who's going to take over that? Reports are that Carlos Beltran is in the mix for a managerial job. He said he's only interested in the Mets job, which I found interesting. But a lot of talent that can certainly be divvied up. And it's weird to say that the Padres have an attractive job, but they do. They have one of the best farm systems in baseball. Some of those guys are already up. You have a future star in Fernando Tatis Jr. Pair him with Manny Machado Jr. Or Manny Machado, excuse me. A young pitching staff. Yeah, it's going to be a tough division. You don't know what the Giants are going to do, so we don't quite know what that landscape's going to look like. But this is a tough division, but this is one of the first times in 10 years, 15 years, that the Padres, you look at that lineup and you start to go like, okay, they're a couple pieces away from being certainly in the mix. I don't think anyone's going to be catching the Dodgers anytime soon. I just don't. But the Diamondbacks are much improved franchise in my mind. Yeah, they don't have the firepower, you know, the star, the name recognition that maybe they did a couple of years ago. But that farm system, if there's a blueprint to follow, I think it is the Dodgers. Because, yes, the Dodgers, they can go out and get any of the free agents they want. But the thing that has made that franchise so good is it seems like every year they have a minor league player come up that's atop their farm rankings, atop Major League Baseball's farm rankings. And it's like, yeah, this guy's going to be a game changer. The icing on the cake is all the financial flexibility that they've had to bring in big names. But look at that lineup. So many of those guys are homegrown guys. So to think you can't, if you're another team in the National League West, the Giants are the closest to it, but really you aren't going to, if you go into a fight with them and you're going to try to outspend, that's just not going to end well for you. So you have to develop that minor league system. I feel like Mike Hazen's done a very good job getting that back to where it should be. Because I feel like this is the first year we're really starting to see some of those benefits. And the years to come, you'll see some of these guys. The farm system is a lot deeper with, I think, you know, to take it to a recruiting type thing, a lot of like four-star guys. You don't quite have the superstars in there yet, the guys that are going to be the complete game changers, the type of guys that what Paul Goldschmidt became when he finally developed through the minor league system. Because when he got drafted, he was just a kid that was a little pudgy from Texas State, but had some talent. But you have a bunch of guys that it's like, all right, these are going to be major league everyday players. That wasn't there the past couple of years. It was kind of piecemealing together. And we've seen young contributions, especially in the pitching staff the past couple of years. So to see them develop that, I think the NL West is going to be a really wide open, with the kind of the exception of the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers are going to have that stranglehold. But there could be one, maybe two playoff teams in the division moving forward the next couple of years. I think it's a really good division of baseball. But things are going to be greatly impacted by who they're able to get in for that Padre job, for that Giant job. A lot of baseball going on. It's a great time of year, especially with the postseason going on. So we're certainly going to be keeping track of that moving forward. Coming up next, going to talk some ASU Utah. Also, Sun Devil's going to be on HBO tonight. What is that experience going to be like? I've watched a couple of those series with other teams. I'm going to give my thoughts on that. That's coming up next on the Brad Sessmet Show. Welcome back to the Brad Sessmet Show. Jordan Hamm filling in for Brad. Before we get to ASU, a couple of things that I just saw during the break. Right now, the NFL is going, or they're having, you know, their pseudo owners meetings right now, and Roger Goodell having his media availability. He just confirmed that a 17-game regular season is part of the CBA talks. Says that it would start the week after Labor Day, play longer into February. That's Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network reporting that. John Breach of CBS Sports then follows that up with, that means that likely Valentine's Day and the Super Bowl would be pretty close together, and that's something that probably shouldn't cross over. If that's something, I just don't understand the NFL. Well, I guess I do, because it's always going to be about the moolah for them, the money. But they always say, oh, we're concerned about player safety. We're concerned about doing this. Another opportunity to make money? Okay, yeah, let's do that. When you see week after week so many guys, you just see these vicious hits where announcers are warning, like, hey, you might want to look away from this replay. It's pretty graphic. That's like a weekly occurrence now. And they're talking about player safety and what they can do to, you know, counteract that, and CTE, but just injuries across the board. But then, oh yeah, 17 games. Yeah, we can notch it up. Yeah, sure. Let's go 20. Why not? Anyway, before my ADD kicked in, ASU, Utah, big game this weekend, obviously, for the Sun Devils, for the Pac-12 South. And I think it's going to be a really good matchup right now. Utah is at about a 13.5-point favorite. I think this game is going to be a lot closer. And honestly, I think that ASU could pull this one out. Like, if I had to pick right now, I think I would pick ASU because they have just been – they've had a different mindset when they've gone on the road this year. And, yeah, it seems like, you know, you have a young team. Sometimes you're going to play up to your competition. Sometimes you're going to play down to your competition. The inferior opponents that they've had where they've played down, specifically Sacramento State, honestly, Colorado, they should have won that game. Those were at home. But when they've had these ranked opponents they've had to go up against – Michigan State, Cal, now Utah, they've come up. And the defense, I know this is a very prideful group, is coming off one of their, at least statistically and yards-wise, and this is going to happen against Mike Leach, but a secondary that gave up a lot of yards and a defense that gave up a lot of yards. This time last year, when the Sun Devils played Utah, this was like Herm Edwards' first marquee Pac-12 win against a ranked opponent. They were able to take care of business, and they shut the door, and that was N'Keal Harry doing it. That was Eno Benjamin. But here's the other thing, and you're going to see content around this on Sports 360 AZ later today. That was Brandon Ayuk's first game with 100 yards receiving. This was kind of his coming out party a little bit, because prior to that, he had only had at most 3 catches in a game. That game against a good Utah defense, he had 6 catches, over 100 yards, was able to show off his speed, break a couple simple plays that we've seen happen so many times this year where Jaden Daniels hits him on a slant. And post game against Washington State, Herm Edwards said this. He goes, "We're throwing a slant to Ayuk and we're expecting 10 yards. And he's consistently now broken it for 70 yards for a touchdown. We saw it against Colorado. These aren't – Jaden Daniels has played great, but there are some touchdowns that Jaden is getting a lot of credit for just putting it in the right spot about 10 yards down the field, and Ayuk's doing the rest. So after he had that game, had a relatively quiet game the next game, U of A had an awesome game. The bowl game against Fresno State, a good Fresno State defense. That was his first time as the featured receiver. He didn't hit 100 yards, but he had 9 catches. And then this start to the year where he's played really well, has hit 100 yards 3 times so far already, coming off a Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Week. And there have been 2 or 3 games where he's at like 98 yards also. And he's become the guy. Like, how worried were people coming into this season about, like, okay, well, who's going to replace N'Keal? Those questions were answered very quickly from Brandon Ayuk. Now, I think they're the production from other wide receiver spots we could look into. You know, I think that Jaden Daniels, also the way the game has been called for Jaden Daniels also, they aren't taking many shots, many risks, I should say, downfield. They'll take their shots, but they're highly calculated. And I think that's to protect the young quarterback. And as he gets older and more experienced, he'll make some throws that will be, you know, when the ball was thrown, the receiver might not have been open, but he was able to put it in a spot for the wide receiver to go ahead and go get. But Ayuk, this was the one that jump-started everything. And he said he's looking for a repeat performance. They had a lot of the secondary members from Utah are still there. And obviously the number one cornerback for Utah is going to go head-to-head against Ayuk on this. The advantage that he had last year was they had to put a lot of attention to N'Keal Harry. And Ayuk was able to take advantage. But this was such a huge question of, like, all right, who's going to be the guy? Got a young quarterback, got to bail him out. Brandon Ayuk has done a incredible job so far this year doing exactly that, being the go-to guy, being the featured receiver, and now Jaden Daniels is putting the ball in spots that only his receivers can get. Just one interception so far this year. So it's such a tough defense that they're going to be going up against. It looks like it's going to be pretty hairy weather conditions. But this is now the third time this group has gone up against a stout defense on the road, a ranked opponent. They've shown that they can win the high-scoring game against Washington State. They showed that they can win, 10-3 against Michigan State. I feel more confident than I have, and usually I'm more on the pessimistic side of the Sun Devil football program, of just, all right, how's it going to go wrong? But they've shown so many times they've played up to a potential superior in competition and won, or at least been in the position to win, and where last year the ball didn't quite bounce their way in those close games, it's starting to bounce their way. And I think the difference with that versus last year is when you remember all those close games that they narrowly missed, they were usually down by about two scores. They would usually have like a rough third quarter, and then they'd be down about two scores, score with about 6 minutes left in the game to make it a one-score game, and have a shot at the potentially tying or winning in the last couple of minutes. The difference is they're keeping pace kind of throughout now, and they're in these positions now where it's not quite catch-up, or at least a multi-score catch-up, where it's just like, hurry up, we got to accumulate points as quickly as possible. It's usually, we need a score. That's it. That's their mindset, is they need a score, whether it be a field goal or a touchdown, and they've had the playmakers in the right position. So I see that going similarly this week against Utah. But this is going to be a huge game and have huge implications for the Pac-12 and Pac-12 South. Coming up next, we're going to hear from Brendan Rice on his commitment for Colorado. And again, we've played plenty of these interviews over the past couple of months. I never take for granted when guys are able to give me their trust and sit down and do an in-depth interview on the stuff before they announce, and trust Sports 360 AZ with that content and not releasing it too early or anything like that. I know that this was a very tough decision for him, and there were a lot of programs going hard after him, and I think a lot of scenarios where he's going to be successful no matter where he goes. But he gave some really good insight on what this process was like, what his support system was like, the Hamilton program, Coach Zdebski, who has taken over and turned them back to a 6A power after taking over in some really rough times. And same thing for Coach Banaszewski, who is still heavily involved over there at Hamilton High School. He gave some good insight on them. So appreciate him sitting down with us. That's coming up next. And then you'll also hear from Brad Sesmet talking with Kyle Whittingham about this ASU-Utah matchup. Thanks so much for tuning in. Welcome into a special edition of the Venezia's Pizzeria Recruiting Roundup. I'm Jordan Hamm, on location at Hamilton High School, and I am with Brendan Rice, wide receiver, one of the top wide receivers in the country, and he's ready to make his decision. Brendan, I'm not going to waste any more time. I'm going to let you go ahead and let us know where you're going to be headed.
University of Colorado.
Congratulations. Why the Buffaloes?
Definitely the at-home feeling away from home. Just the impact that the coaching staff, the area, everything it had around me, just to make sure that I can truly develop in the place and push myself to new heights. It's different.
Now, I know that Coach Tucker has been recruiting you hard for a while. You have a good relationship with him. Just what are those conversations like, and how did that relationship develop?
Oh, wow. Coach Tucker, he came off as like just the most mellow dude at first, and I was like, wow. You are not hype at all. Like, he said, I only need to be when I need to be. And then he actually went into the locker room versus the Nebraska game. And I was just like, wow, the intensity and power he had in his voice to make sure his team had the drive to go out there and win the game. It was different. It was a different type of feel. And it made me feel as though I need to be here. I need to be here. I can grow here. I can do what I need to do in 3 years.
How difficult was this decision?
Words can explain how difficult this was. I was in the prospects of ASU and Colorado. It was my last two. But at first, I was with Oregon. Shoot, Michigan definitely left an imprint. It was extremely difficult because me and my mom would literally sit up talking about it, and we would have no idea.
Now, you mentioned your mom. What other sort of support system did you have to help make this decision for you?
Definitely my sisters, my brothers, my stepdad, of course, Rick Cunningham. And it was just, it truly came down to just me where I wanted to live, because they were going to support me no matter what.
I know that you and Keith Miller have talked a lot about pairing up at Colorado, and you're smiling right now. Just what do you think you two can do at the wide receiver position, where there's going to be a lot of opportunity with the Buffaloes?
It's definitely going to be dangerous. It's going to have a huge impact on the Pac-12 and all across the nation, definitely, because now I'm hearing about a couple other wide receivers maybe joining the room. And honestly, we're just trying to give Brandon Lewis a lot of options so we could truly go about his way and truly read the field. But it's not about that. It's about the team. And I can't wait to be a part of this team.
So when we've talked in the past, you talked about when you were an underclassman, you called yourself a knucklehead, and we get into trouble every now and then. But Coach Banaszewski, Coach Zadebski, what did this Hamilton community do to help you get to where you are today?
Definitely put the honor on the Husky name and helped me, like, everything that goes into it. Tyler Shuck actually took me under his wing, showed me the path on what it takes to be a great leader, to be successful in life. And it truly was an eye-opening experience. From then on, I truly took on that leadership position and tried to drive the team to where we want to be in that championship, holding it up high. And I think that that's all that matters in the end, because you want people to remember you, because nobody's going to remember your stats. Nobody's going to remember what you did in that game or that game. Everybody's going to remember you from how the person you were.
Coach Zadebski, I know, was integral in getting you to the track, and that's really transformed your game here in your senior season. What was your initial reaction when he suggested that to you, and then just what were the benefits of that?
Coach, you are crazy if you think I'm stepping out on that track. I did not want to step out on that track, but it was an eye-opening experience. Like, I went out there. I was the biggest guy out there, wearing in at 210. Started off at 11.7, went to a 10.78. Like, wow, a whole second off my time. Just 2 to 3 months. Not a lot of training. And this year I'm going into training with Coach EJ. I'm hoping to get a 10.4.
Safe to say Coach Z was right?
Very. He was right. He was right. I hate to say it, but he was right. A lot of respect goes out to him. I'm definitely thankful he was able to step into the program and lead this team how it should be led, especially about after the adversity we definitely have came by and actually overcome and just transferred into a championship team. And that means a lot. It means a lot, especially coming from the Tyler Shuck, Bellis age, already in the Cozy age by my senior year. It's just, it's different.
On your social media, you know, in your bio, you see the usual, you know, accolades and various stats and things like that, but you also have nameless in there. What does the word nameless mean to you?
Not any disregard to my father, but nameless is definitely what I perceive myself as. I don't need the use of a last name to push myself to lead me somewhere that I want to be. Everything I'm doing is based off my first name. Everything I'm doing is based off of me. I want to make sure that I'm getting there on my own. I'm pushing myself every day in the weight room, pushing myself on the track, pushing myself on the field and in the classroom. That's all it means.
Now, you have a couple of teammates that are going to be Pac-12 bound as well. Jeremiah Trojan, Dylan McGinnis. What's it going to be like going head-to-head against those guys?
Well, let's see. Dylan, man, all love to him, but I don't know about Wazoo. And Jeremiah, I'm going to make him flip. Yes, sir.
It could, or you could see him in a mismatch situation against UCLA. How do you think that matchup would go?
If we're on two different sides of the ball, I'm sorry, bro. Only one outcome is going to happen, and that's going to leave with us on top for sure.
Congratulations, Brendan. Brendan Rice, your newest Colorado commit.
Yes, sir. Go Buffs. Relentless.
So what makes Saturday much more interesting to me is it is ASU and Utah, and the Utes have the longest tenured coach in Kyle Whittingham. Great run of success that he's had up there. He recruits here in Arizona. I think nationally, Utah's brand is one of those that you look at and say they are in the upper echelon. He's been able to do that here in the Pac-12 South. So for ASU and Utah, whether the game's on the Pac-12 network, as a lot of you are complaining about or not, they're going to play. We're going to take the show up there, and it's good to have the coach of the Utes with us for a couple of minutes. Kyle, it's Brad Susmat. How are you doing, Coach?
Doing well, Brad. Thank you.
Good to have you back on the show. Let's just talk first big overview of where things are with the program from your view this season.
Well, we're at the halfway point. I think we're in pretty decent shape. We obviously have a conference loss, so that's not ideal, but it's a very competitive conference, and that's just the nature of the beast in the Pac-12. People beat each other up, so that's where we're at. Big game this week. They're all big, but this one, is a couple ranked teams going at it. We're excited to get back home. We were on the road last week up in Oregon, so guys were excited to get back home in front of the home crowd, but we have our hands full. I mean, Arizona State's a good football team. They're playing well. They're finding ways to win, and they got weapons, so we'll see what happens.
Talking with Kyle Whittingham, head coach, Utah Utes. If we focus in this season on your quarterback, we've seen these two teams back and forth, and Tyler Huntley. Let's just talk about how his season has gone, Coach.
Well, I don't think it could have gone much better to this point. He's doing a phenomenal job of running the offense. His statistics are exceptional at this point. I mean, 75% completion percentage. He's taking care of the football, no interceptions. I mean, he's just done a remarkable job, the credit, a ton of the credit goes to our new offensive coordinator, Andy Ludwig. Andy and Tyler have a great chemistry together, and it's just been great to see him take his game to another level. And he's our team leader. If you talk about, most teams have one guy you can point to as that alpha dog, the guy that is the leader of the pack, and Tyler is that guy for us.
What makes Zach Moss so good?
Oh, a combination of things. He's strong. He's 220 pounds. He's got size to him. He's got quickness. He's got vision, balance. He's the whole package as a running back, and he's about to become, some point this season, the all-time leading rusher in Utah football history, and that's quite an accomplishment. We've had some really good backs that have come through here, but he's just got that combination that you look for in running backs as far as those attributes I mentioned, and also he's a very good inside runner. He's a great outside runner, so there really is no weakness, and he catches the ball out of the backfield and he blocks. So he's really the whole package.
I mentioned off the top how you come here and you do recruit into Arizona. Solomon Enos is one of those players. Statistically, he does not have a whole lot to show this season. I'm curious about his progress in your program.
Well, it's been very good. He's a sophomore, a true sophomore. No, he does not have a lot of catches at this point, but really none of our receivers have a ton of catches. I mean, we've spread the ball around pretty good. We've got six or seven, eight guys that share the load, and so we don't have that 30 or 40 catch guy. We got a bunch of guys that have contributed. Solomon is a completely unselfish team player. He's also a standout on special teams. He's on virtually every special teams unit and does a great job there. So his time will come, and he's made great progress in the program, and he's a valuable member of our team. But you're right, as far as just catches, it's not going to blow you away right now, but he does so many things for us. His blocking as a wide receiver is outstanding as well. He's a big reason why we run the football effectively is because of his perimeter blocking.
We're talking with Kyle Whittingham, head coach, Utah Utes. Showdown Saturday, Utah hosting ASU this coming Saturday afternoon. What do you see out of the Sun Devils in preparation for this Saturday's game, Coach?
Well, offensively, the freshman quarterback, Daniels, is doing a nice job running the offense, particularly for a true freshman. He shows a great deal of poise and maturity, you know, that you wouldn't expect in a first-year kid. He's taking care of the football. You know, they've turned it over very infrequently. He's got a nice running back to hand the ball off to, you know, Benjamin. He's a workhorse. He's a 20-plus carry a game guy that is very productive for him. And then Ayuk, the receiver, is a big play threat and an outstanding, you know, just receiver in general and a tough matchup. And the offensive line is playing efficiently. Defensively, they're playing solid. And maybe the main thing is they never beat themselves. I mean, they find a way to just get the W. I mean, there's no statistical part of their team that is really something that you gotta, you know, be overly concerned about. They're just good across the board, and again, they're well coached and don't beat themselves.
Before I let you go, Coach, the Pac-12 South. I think you mentioned it earlier about the depth within the league. It is cannibalism, I think, is the best way to put it, because every Saturday teams are just beating up on teams, and yet the perception is that the conference is down, and I think that's just simply not true. What do you make out of the top of the Pac-12 South right now? Four teams there all bunched up coming into this weekend's game, and how do you think it will play out?
Well, that's the beauty of the Pac-12 is nobody knows how this is going to play out. It's anybody's guess as to, you know, who's going to emerge. But you know, last year we were able to win the South with three losses, and that's fairly unique. I mean, typically you don't win a conference or a division within the conference with three losses, but that's how balanced it is. And you're exactly right; we're not top heavy, and you know, if we, I think we stack up against any conference in the country when you go 1 through 12. You know, the entire depth of the league, and you know, we don't have that one marquee team that. That is undefeated and you know, just that nobody seems to be able to match up with in the Pac-12. It seems like you match up every week, and if you don't play your best football, you're going to get beat.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I appreciate your time and insight as always, Kyle. Thanks.
Okay, Brad. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Kyle Whittingham, head coach there with the Utah Utes. Sports360AZ.com.